We're proud to be sponsored by MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Schools can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, win time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and much more. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
Emotional dysregulation. We've all seen it in our classrooms. Sometimes we ourselves have even experienced it. And the problem is that it stops our ability to connect with the thinking part of our brain. So while we're trying to tell ourselves that something isn't the way it should be, or we aren't acting the way we should be because maybe something isn't that bad or we just don't understand, what we really don't understand is that it's impossible for us to use the thinking part of the brain if our emotional side is dysregulated. Hey, everybody, Dr. Jones with another episode of Seeing to Lead. And this week, I talk to Kathleen Weber, who is a certified, accredited emotional freedom techniques practitioner. Now, EFT is centered on severing the tie between our emotional reaction and the event that occurred. And as Kathleen explains, what these techniques help us with is sitting through that discomfort and unpacking it by relieving the stress in our body and nervous system. She does a great job of explaining that the body remembers everything. All the past events or experiences of our lives live in our nervous system. And what EFT is a gentle, personal technique that's incredibly powerful and helpful in getting us through our emotional experiences so that we can then reactivate our thinking side. In fact, Kathleen is kind enough to even do a demonstration of a regulation technique called tap and breathe. It's one of the most basic techniques, and you can instantly, when you practice it, see that it works. Well, I can't wait to have you hear all that Kathleen Weber has to say, because she offers some gems as to how we can work better in schools to meet the needs, not just intellectual or academic, but emotional needs of our students. So please, once you're done listening, take the time, subscribe to the show, and leave an honest rating and review. It helps the show more than you can imagine, because it spreads it so that other people can benefit just like you. Now, let's get to getting better with Kathleen Weber on Seeing to Lead.
Let's talk about flex time in schools. The potential benefits to our students make it worth exploring. More time for personalized learning, increased choice and agency for students, and the increased engagement that comes along with it, dedicated time for intervention. Overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be a challenge. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in, and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose, and with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
His ability to listen, his ability to reflect back to people that so they know that they were heard, and having a vision. He had an incredible vision for that university and created incredible programs, and he hired people who supported his vision. So I think it's supporting the people who you are leading and hearing them and helping them to feel like they are part of the bigger picture.
Dr. Chris Jones here, and welcome to Seeing to Lead, a show designed to help leaders increase their ability to effectively support, engage, and empower their staff through intentional practices so that they create an environment where everyone reaches their greatest level of success. On Seeing to Lead, communication rules the day as we hear voices from both teachers and leaders in an effort to examine perspectives, highlight misunderstandings, and provide steps to ultimately bridge the gap between what teachers need and provide through thoughtful dialogue. This show is about amplifying voices, creating understanding, and providing information to help everyone continually improve. I want to personally thank you for taking the time. Now, let's get to getting better. Kathleen Weber is a former school counselor of 25 years and is a certified, accredited Emotional Freedom Techniques practitioner. She's passionate about bringing tools to educators and students that help to regulate emotions and calm the nervous system. Prior to using these techniques, she felt like something was missing from her toolbox. Students would return with the same issue time and time again, or they would return with the same theme, but different players. It wasn't until she learned how to use EFT that she truly felt she was making a difference. In fact, she loved it so much that she started her own business to support educators experiencing burnout through individual sessions and to offer professional development for teachers, school counselors, and other school staff to bring these techniques into the classroom. I'm happy to speak with Kathleen today on Seeing to Lead because she addresses something so important in today's schools. Look, it's no secret that our students and staff are struggling emotionally now more than ever, and it's up to us to help in any way possible. So let's get some additional tools in our toolboxes today by speaking with Kathleen Weber. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm very excited to be here today.
Okay, so, you know, in reading a little bit about what you sent me in our pre-chat, I'm really getting more and more interested with this EFT, this Emotional Freedoms Technique piece. So help us to get to know what it is and how we can use it in the classrooms today.
Sure. EFT, at its core, is really a stress management tool, and it works somatically with the body, which makes it very powerful and gentle at the same time. So what we're doing is accessing our acupressure points. So we're incorporating Eastern medicine by incorporating acupressure points. And we are also adding a little bit of exposure. We're allowing ourselves to think about the things that are bothering us and feel those feelings that can be troublesome. And as we're applying the acupressure tapping, because EFT is also called tapping, what we do is we calm the body's nervous system. We calm that fight or flight response while we're thinking about those things that are bothering us. So we basically are severing the tie between that event that happened and that emotional response that's still there when we think about that. We all have those. We all have things that we can think about that maybe happened 5 minutes ago, or it could be last week, it could be 10 years ago, that still bother us emotionally. That's what's still present in our nervous system. And EFT helps to sever that tie with that emotion that's still attached to those thoughts.
And I totally understand what you're talking about, how emotions living with us. I can't tell you how many times I'll catch myself talking to myself, having a conversation with somebody that's not even there.
Yes.
So when you talk about confronting, and please make sure that I'm in the right lane when I'm talking about this, you talk about still acknowledging that emotion or confronting that emotion. And I equate that with sitting in discomfort for a little while and not avoiding discomfort. Can build up resilience, but you almost, to me, it seems like you're talking about a strategy while you're experiencing that discomfort to not necessarily distract you, but keep you from experiencing the negative effects of it. Is that right? Or?
Well, I would say that it's similar to that, that we're allowing ourselves to feel that uncomfortable feeling. And while we're using the acupressure tapping, we are supporting the nervous system while that's happening so that feeling, that emotion can be fully processed and released from the body. So we're not necessarily trying to quote unquote tap it away. We're using the tapping to support the body while we're feeling that uncomfortable feeling so that it moves through, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And of course, when we talk about acupressure, that makes even more sense because it's affecting the nervous system. And I think of how real this is in schools when you're talking about pressure and stress management, and how we see students show up again and again. I mean, I don't think there's a high school in the United States anyways that doesn't have some type of student teacher assistance team to process students through. And if I had a nickel for every time students showed up again on that stat team list to talk about, because we haven't found an effective method of helping them. They go to counselors, they speak to counselors, they consult with counselors, but for some reason that I think you're on to helping with that, there needs to be a step further. And I just think that the idea of supporting the nervous system is something that's often overlooked in schools.
Right. And I think that so often the approaches that we're using they fall under that category of talk therapy, right? So we're trying to engage the thinking part of the brain. But when students are coming to us, they are emotionally dysregulated. And when we are dysregulated, we lose the ability to connect with the thinking part of the brain. So when that fight or flight system is activated, of course, all of our resources go out to our limbs, right? We have an adrenaline rush. That makes sense. If we're truly in danger, we want to be able to run, flee, or fight off what's happening. And so we don't need to stop and think about what's happening. We don't want to stop and think. That's not what the nervous system is designed to do when we are under a threat. But under today's world, our bodies are constantly taking in threats that aren't necessarily threats. The body perceives it as a threat because of past experiences, because we never processed that survival stress completely. We shoved it down into the body. All those times that you avoid feeling a certain way because it's just too challenging, we are shoving it back in the body. And then it shows up when we're triggered by things. And kids are triggered all the time. We as adults are triggered all the time by various things. So if we can learn tools to help manage those emotions and manage those emotional triggers, then, we're helping students to access their own healing abilities, basically, that when they recognize, oh, this is one of my triggers, then they have a tool right at their fingertips that they can access to support themselves. And same with the adults. It is not just about the kids. It is about the adults too. We have to be the best version of ourselves, right? To be able to help the students. And so by using these techniques, we're helping them, but we're also supporting ourselves at the same time.
That's one of the things I loved about that introduction piece on you, that you were helping teachers with the teacher burnout and working with teachers in individual sessions. And that hits home for me because I always tout myself as the teacher-centered principal. Because if I can make sure teachers are in a good spot, then I can almost guarantee that they're going to be very successful in helping students be in a good spot. So I really liked that. Now, you used a word a lot over the past couple of minutes, triggers, and talking about triggers. And that's a word in today's society that a lot of people use, and sometimes it carries with it a negative connotation, or you get people's eyes rolling with that's another trigger. Are you saying that EFT could possibly help students have less triggers, or is it more of an awareness?
Absolutely. Because like I'd mentioned before, when we're using EFT, clinical EFT, the researched EFT, because there are variants out there. If you do a Google search or a YouTube search, you'll come across information that might be like a script. That is not research. That is not clinical EFT. So with clinical EFT, we are able to help students clear a pattern. So that, for example, I had a student who just was afraid to ask for help, just afraid to raise their hand. We all know we have students like that. Even if we try to make it as safe as we possibly can for them and tell them it's really okay to ask whatever you want to ask, there's still something that's activated in their nervous system because of previous experiences. The body remembers everything that has ever happened to us. We might not consciously remember, but the body keeps the score. Bessel van der Kolk, if anybody has read his book, phenomenal information about the nervous system. And so when the body perceives a threat, and it could just be sitting in a classroom and not understanding what's happening, is that a life or death threat? No, but the body can interpret that as I am under attack right now, and they shut down. So by using EFT, what we do is focus on a specific time, a recent time. We don't want to go back too far because we don't want it to be too triggering for them. So we focus on a specific time when they struggled in a class and were afraid to raise their hand, afraid to ask for help. And we're using the tapping, and I guide them through using their words. It's not my words, not my interpretation. It's what their perspective is. So it might look like, and we tap on the side of the hand, even though I feel afraid right now, just thinking about being in social studies class when I didn't understand what the teacher was talking about, and I was too afraid to ask the question. I'm still a great kid, or it's okay that I feel this way. We're going to end it with something kind of positive, you know, an acceptance phrase, so to speak. And then we do that 3 times on the side of the hand. And then when we tap through the other points, we're focusing on the emotion. I feel scared right now just thinking about that time in social studies class. I feel scared. I'm feeling scared. I feel it in my chest. I'm feeling scared in my chest. So we go through the points. And then we're going to go back and double check on, okay, now thinking about that same thing, how scared are you 0 to 10? We keep rating it and until we can get it to 0. We go back and find, okay, what are you thinking about now? Maybe it was the expression on the teacher's face that made the student feel that way. Okay, just thinking about that expression on that teacher's face that time made it really hard for me to ask a question. And I feel scared about that right now. So we're focusing on the emotion. We're focusing on what happened. We're focusing on where it's showing up in the body. We're including all of that, all of those senses into it. And we're tapping on the acupressure points to calm that down and to essentially clear that event from their nervous system so that now they're able to think about that same thing and have no reaction to it. They're neutral. That's what we want to happen. When we can clear out those quote unquote triggers, then, and we clear out several of them, maybe there are other times that they felt afraid to ask for help. We go through several of those and clear them out. And then moving forward, that's not stuck in their nervous system anymore. It's not a subconscious reaction that they have because we've cleared it from their body. So it can essentially change how students move forward. We can clear out some of those patterns that get in their way from being successful in school. And isn't that what we want? We want to help them access the tools that they have.
So, and you know, I'm glad that you talked about being successful in school. And I think to myself, because that, I mean, the way you explain it is just so helpful in school settings. But I think to myself about how this takes place. So for a student to effectively employ these strategies, so that one, they need to know the points. They need to know the acupressure points. So there's got to be that learning component to that. And two, do they need a different place to do it? Like I think of in the moment, and I think of strategies of in the moment. I'm sitting in social studies class, to use your example. I'm looking at this teacher up at the front of the classroom, and just for whatever reason, their stance, the look on their face, their intonation, it's setting me off from something that resides in my nervous system or in my body from a prior experience. How do I get through that moment? Or is it that I experience that moment and then I go to another place, be it a counselor's office, be it somewhere else, and then I talk through that or I have somebody help me move through that, whether it's a transition room or something to that extent, so that the next time I'm in social studies class and I look up at the teacher hasn't changed, but now it doesn't affect me in that way.
Right.
So how does that play out?
It could be either, to tell you the truth. So there are ways to access, because the acupressure points that have been researched are on the face and the upper body. So accessing those in the middle of class could be potentially uncomfortable, embarrassing. But there are acupressure points on the fingers as well. And I would always teach my students how to access those points. I'd walk them through. We practice together so that if they're sitting in class and they feel activated somehow, that they have access to those points. So another example, I had a student who was very nervous about his online math test, his math facts test that he had to take every day. And so we used tapping, he and I together. And then I showed him those tapping points on the fingers. And when I checked in with him the next time, he had this huge grin on his face, just a little cutie pie. And I, you know, asked him, how did it go? Tell me, you know, what happened? And he told me that he would do the warm up and then he would tap on each of the finger points and take a breath. And then he switched to the other hand, took a breath while tapping on each finger point. And then he started the actual test and his scores skyrocketed. And, you know, I'm not surprised when you understand what happens to the nervous system and to that brain, that thinking part of the brain, that cognitive aspect of the brain. When we are under a stress response, we don't have access to it. We're not communicating with that thinking part of the brain because we are under duress and we're in fight or flight. We're not thinking straight when we're in that fight or flight because that's not what the body thinks it needs at that point. So when we calm that fight or flight response down by using the acupressure tapping, then we're re-engaging that thinking part of the brain. He knew what he was doing. He had the information. He just couldn't access it when he was dysregulated. So by giving him that tool, he was able to access the knowledge that he had and show that he knew what he was doing. So it was just such an incredible moment. And it was one time I met with him to teach him how to use this, go over the tapping together. And then when I checked in with him the next time, he was good to go. He had the skills he needed. And that was it. We didn't need to spend any more time on that one.
Supporting your teachers and students seems to be a struggle. They just don't seem to be engaged. You wish they would take more responsibility for their learning and culture of the building, but they just don't seem to be empowered enough to do it. So, my question is, have you checked out the book Seeing to Lead yet? It's all about creating a true educational experience where learning, growth, leadership, and community take center stage. Full of strategies and resources, Seeing to Lead is about attaining that goal by employing a model that supports, engages, and empowers all individuals to become leaders themselves. Pick up a copy today at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com. Remember, you don't become a leader and then decide you need to support and recognize others more than yourself. It is the moment you realize it's about supporting and recognizing others that you become a leader. SeeingToLead.com.
You know, I think to myself, is this something that works universally? We're using academic examples. What about athletes? Does it work for athletes? Does it work for a student who is maybe in the presence of a food allergy or a food that they're allergic to? And so they get concerned about where they are and what they're doing. Does it work for that student? Is this a universal type of thing?
Yeah. So it's called emotional freedom techniques because it works with emotion. So when you think about athletes who, you know, that pitcher who is down to the last pitch and threw that ball and the other player hit a home run, you know, when he's trying to save the game. Now that weighs on him and he or she, they have thoughts about that, right? They have feelings about that situation. And so we can use EFT to help reduce the intensity of those emotions, reduce that trigger so that the next time they're on the mound, they're not thinking about that. Their body's not remembering that time. You know, when you're more relaxed, you have access to your natural abilities. So absolutely for athletes, you know, when you think about food allergies and that nervousness of being exposed to something, are we going to change the food allergy? I'm not going to make that, you know, statement. You know, there are no promises there, but certainly we can help address the emotional aspect of having the food allergy. So it can transform how we interact with the world.
I think about when you're talking about this, especially with those last few comments, I go back to the idea of a gentle technique that's so powerful and that can help in so many situations. And, you know, you've talked about, you've given a couple examples about being able to access what a student already knows, how it can help regulate emotions. What would be really interesting is if you can do this, would you run us through like an example of what this looks like and sounds like? So we have an idea and maybe somebody could take this and bring it to their classroom after they listen to the episode.
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, I want to say that EFT includes 48 different techniques. Okay. So the one that I'm going to share with you and the listeners is a regulation technique. So there are ways that we can use EFT in the moment just to calm ourselves down in the moment. It's not used to, you know, release triggers or clear triggers. It is just meant to calm us in the moment. Okay. So what I'm going to do is walk you through the acupressure points that we use first, and then I will walk you through the exercise. Okay. So the first point that we tap on is right on the top of the head. So for our listeners, if they'd like to join us, just tapping gently on the top of the head. I use two or three fingers up there. And there's no right or wrong in terms of how many times you tap. It's just until you're ready to move to the next point. The next point is at the start of the eyebrows. So towards the bridge of the nose. And you can tap on one side, one eyebrow or the other. You can tap on both. It doesn't matter. Whatever feels comfortable for you. That's the second spot. There are eight that we're going to go through. The next one is the bones on the side of the eye. So not your temples, but the bones on the side of the eye. We're just working our way down around the eyes. We go under the eyes, the bones under the eye, right under the pupil. The next spot is under the nose. And then we go to the crease in the chin. Well, it's not the tip of the chin, but the crease. Two more spots. The next one is called the collarbone point. So if you find your clavicle bones and go down and out about an inch, there's kind of a softer spot there. That's the collarbone point. This is my favorite one. You might find that there's a different one that's your favorite. Again, you could tap on one side or the other or both because I like it so much. I use both hands here. And the last spot is under the arm. It's about 4 inches under the armpit. So it's kind of like on the side where your ribs are. And some people cross their arms over and get both. Some just do one side. The kids kind of like to do the monkey. So the little ones anyway. The older ones too sometimes.
Yeah.
So those are the points. So the exercise I'm going to walk you through is called tap and breathe. And I'm not going to ask you to take a deep breath. I'm going to ask you to take a comfortable breath. So just whatever feels right for you and your body. So we just start by tapping on the top of the head and we're going to inhale here and exhale here. And then we go to the eyebrow point. Again, inhale, comfortable breath and exhale, side of the eye. Again, inhale and exhale, under the eye. Inhale and exhale. Typically, by the time I get to this point, I start to notice that my body naturally wants to take a deeper breath. We're not trying to force anything here. We go under the nose, again, inhale and exhale, whatever feels comfortable for you. The chin point, that crease in the chin, and the collarbone point. And then the last point is under the arm. And you can use tapping with any breathing technique. You just add the tapping to whatever breathing technique you prefer. You can stay longer if they're like, I like that collarbone point. I might take a couple of breaths there. It's very flexible. So it's important to tune into your body and what feels right for you. So if you want to linger somewhere, then you linger somewhere. If you want to go faster, you go faster. Whatever feels right for you. So that's tap and breathe.
Thank you very much for that. It's funny when you said right here is typically where you feel like you're taking a deeper breath. I noticed that I was starting to breathe deeper as I did that. It was subtle. It was small.
Yeah.
But it was noticeable. And I noticed when I was done, I was much more aware of my head and my face. But is this something that you do until you're relaxed? Like I wasn't in the moment emotionally upset about anything. Is this something you do until you feel relaxed, or do you go through the whole series no matter what?
You can go around multiple times if you need to, if you're feeling some strong emotion that you just want to support your body with, then typically you're not able to take a deeper breath to begin with, right? Because we're dysregulated. So just taking a breath that's comfortable and moving through and continuing to breathe at each spot will naturally calm your body and naturally calm that fight or flight response. So you go around as many times as you need to. You don't have to be completely dysregulated to use this, because even when we feel, you know, pretty good, I think sometimes when we go through these tapping points, like, oh, now I feel even better, you know, just
right, right.
I used to do this before I'd get out of the car and walk into the building. So okay. I found that to be really helpful, just to help regulate my body before I walked in the door, even before I walked into my house. You know, just to help regulate me before I came home. So yeah, just a couple of ways to use that. And of course, you know, if it's too difficult to focus on breathing, you can just silently tap and not even worry about the breath. If you're really upset about something, just tap on the points and allow yourself to feel what's there and just keep tapping until you feel your body start to calm down.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that.
It's my pleasure.
Now, so what you came here to explain, right?
Exactly.
So you just walked us through a tap and breathe, but there's so much more to this.
Yeah.
And you offer PD in this, right?
I do. I offer PD for all educators, really, on how to use EFT for self-care. I think everything that I do has to start with that, because without us taking care of ourselves, that's how we reach burnout. That's how we reach compassion fatigue, right? And how we run into health struggles. We need to be able to take care of ourselves first. So that's always included in my PD, but I can go further than that and help teachers integrate EFT, clinical EFT, into the classroom, as well as more regulation tools. And I also work with school counselors to teach them clinical EFT to be able to use with their students.
That's fantastic. So what does your PD look like? Is it a full day, a half day? Is it an ongoing series?
Yeah, it really depends on what we are focusing on and what's included. I did a 1-hour PD for a middle school full staff, and it was really about introducing the regulation techniques for themselves and to be able to use with the students. So that was a 1-hour PD. The PD I just did with actually Lexington Public Schools in Massachusetts and their counselors, it's 3.5 hours. So we do the first 2 hours online. All of this can be done online, but the second part I prefer to do in person if I can, just because it's easier to give feedback, but I can do it all online. So we break it up into 2 parts. So that first part is really learning the techniques and how to apply them for yourself. And then the second part is, okay, now that you're feeling more comfortable with how to use the techniques for yourself, how do I use these with students? What about this issue? What if they come in with this? How do I use the techniques for, you know, just different examples and different ideas of how to introduce it? How do I talk to the kids about this? You know, I think building those bridges is really important, an important aspect of it. How do I talk to other staff about this if they don't know about it? So there are a lot of aspects that are included in the training, and I like to tailor it to what the school needs. So if there's a school that has specific things that they want to get out of it, then I like to have the conversation first. Let's talk about it and see, is this something that we can put together and make meaningful for your staff and your school culture, your community?
Excellent. So I'm going to get all your information and make sure that's in the show notes.
Fabulous.
So that people can access that and access some training from you. I think this is something that's really positive that can have a major impact on the emotional needs that our students are facing and our teachers are facing in our buildings today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. You know, we're getting near the end of the podcast, and there's two questions that I ask everybody that appears on the podcast. So if you weren't in education, and I know you still are a little in education, as we talk about you going out and providing PD, so you're still in education.
Yep, I am.
If you weren't in education or an educator, who not what would you be?
At my core, I'm a helper. That is, I think regardless of whether it's with schools or I would be helping in some aspect because I care deeply about people. I have a lot of compassion, a lot of empathy, and I have ideas for how to help and strategies. So I think that's who I would be. That's who I am, period.
I think that's incredibly clear with this EFT technique that you're spreading out, that you're helping train other people in just to make a larger impact than you could possibly do by yourself. So as you're spreading the technique to others, they can help multitudes of people.
That is the goal. That is the goal for sure.
So the final question is what, you know, we've talked about quite a lot around EFT. What's the most important piece of advice you would give to leaders as they work to better support, engage, and empower those they serve?
Yeah. I think about this question. I think about my father-in-law because he was the president of San Diego State University for 15 years and an incredible leader. And when I think about what made him incredible, what it's his ability to listen, his ability to reflect back to people that so they know that they were heard and having a vision. He had an incredible vision for that university and created incredible programs, and he hired people who supported his vision. So I think it's supporting the people who you are leading and hearing them and helping them to feel like they are part of the bigger picture. That's what I would say.
Fantastic. Well, Kathleen, you've given us a ton of information. I can't imagine somebody not wanting to get in touch with you about this. So what's the best way to get in touch with you if somebody wants to reach out just really quick?
Sure. Anyone can send me an email. So it's Kathleen@KathleenWeberEFT.com. Pretty easy. I also have a website that's KathleenWeberEFT.com, and anyone can sign up for a 15-minute conversation with me. So if they just have a few questions, they would rather have a conversation about it, you know, rather than an email, I'm certainly open to that. I'm open to whatever is going to create the best communication and an outcome for the school district.
Absolutely perfect. And you know, it's good for people to hear it and then see it, and I'll put it where they can easily click it in the show notes.
Fabulous.
So that if they want to get in touch with you, they can. I can't thank you enough for coming on today. I really appreciate all the strategies and the tools and advice that you've shared on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the space to share my passion and appreciate all that you're doing to support educators.
Well, that's a wrap, but not the end. Next step, be sure to take action on something you heard here today. Hey, thanks for listening to the Scene to Lead podcast. If you would like to connect for any reason, email me at drchrissj@gmail.com or catch me on Twitter at Dr. C.S. Jones. If you've gotten any value from the Scene to Lead podcast today, you can help me and other leaders create a world-class environment through a teacher-centric approach by subscribing to the show, leaving an honest rating or review, and sharing this episode on social media with your most valuable takeaway.
Also, one last thing. Have you had a chance to pick up my latest 5-star rated book yet? Grab your copy of Seeing to Lead anywhere you buy books or at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com, where you can learn more and continue to improve. Now go have a successful week.
There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flex time without the common challenges. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.